winning words, valuable information on love, faith, and prayer that can make your life more meaningful. God never stops loving you. What is God like? Some people picture him as an angry God, an all-seeing eye who carries around a big stick ready to clobber them, or a cruel tyrant, some kind of a monster who's trying to frighten everyone into hell. But actually, he is love. He's a loving God who is trying to love everyone into heaven. He's so close, so intimate, so personal, so loving, so kind, so tender, so gentle, so concerned. And he's waiting with open arms. The only reason he follows us around is he's hoping we'll turn around and meet him with open arms. He never stops loving us, no matter what we do. He never rejects us or withdraws his love. He always has hope for us, no matter how far we've strayed. So if you feel far from God, maybe it's because you haven't opened your heart to receive his love and forgiveness. You need not continue to feel condemned for your mistakes and sins. Only be sorry. Ask for God's forgiveness and be forgiven. If you'll even start God's way, if you'll just turn toward him and start trying to find your way home, the Father will come running toward you and receive you with open arms of love. Fret not thyself for tomorrow. It's always tomorrow that we are tempted to worry about. But God's word forbids fear over the future. Jesus said, "Take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. The future will take care of itself. For sufficient unto the day, today, is the evil thereof." That is God's warning, God's commandment, and God's promise. You are to enjoy today and take things as they come, and let tomorrow take care of itself. For as thy day, so shall thy strength be. God will give you power for the hour, grace for the trial, at the hour, and when it comes, not before. He who hath begun a good work in you is going to perfect it unto the end, for he is the author and the finisher of our faith, who hath delivered, who doth deliver, and who will yet deliver. He loves you and cares for you and is going to take care of you no matter what happens. So for God's sake, don't worry about tomorrow. That's not your concern. That's not your worry. That's none of your business. That's God's business. Oh, I've nothing to do with tomorrow. My Savior has made that his care. Its grace and its strength I can't borrow. So why should I borrow its care? Rest in the Lord. He's going to take care of everything. Faithfulness in little things is a great thing. Never belittle any task that the Lord has given you, because even things that seem little are so important. You may think that what you're doing now is not very important, but you just might be in school for something that's more important than you realize. The Lord tests you with little things. And the more he finds he can trust you with, the more he gives you. He knows if you'll do little things diligently, faithfully, and well, then he can trust you with big things. Jesus said, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." Little things are big in God's eyes. God runs the whole world on small things, and he judges us by small things. The whole world and all the universe and God's kingdom is made up of small things, very small things. And without the small things, it wouldn't be here. Are you faithful in the little things? Help us, Lord, to learn how important the little things are, and not to fail in even the least of them. Thy word says, "It is required that a servant be found faithful, full of faith, and faithful at their tasks." So, help us to be faithful and obedient to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Amen. Start the day off right. Hear from the Lord. You ought to try a little prayer time every day, early in the morning, before beginning your day's work, asking the Lord to help you, lead you, and guide you. When you first wake up, before you do anything, talk to God. Get your orders from him for the day, and you'll be amazed how he'll solve a lot of your problems before the day even starts, if you will simply listen to what he has to say. But if you go plunging into all your problems and troubles and your day's work without stopping to talk to the Lord and get your directions from him, you'll be like a musician who decided to have his concert first and tune his instrument afterwards. Begin the day with the Word of God and prayer, and get first of all in harmony with him. Don't ever think, "It's too hard to pray," or "I haven't got time to pray." The busier your day, the more reason you have to pray, and the longer you ought to pray. If you'll just spend a little more time praying, you will find that you'll spend a lot less time working to get things done later, because if your day is hemmed with prayer, it is less likely to unravel. It's just that simple. God gives us the majesty of personal choice to go his way or our own. If the Lord had wanted robots, he could have made everybody love him. But he made us with free choice and a free will so we could choose to love him. This is the age of grace in which we have to make our own decisions to love him and serve him voluntarily. We have to voluntarily choose to be righteous and voluntarily choose the Lord and his way, his word. The main reason we're here in the first place is to learn how to make decisions under God's guidance from the Garden of Eden to the present. All of life is that way. That's why God put us here, to make decisions and choices, to search for the right things, to try to find the right direction, to learn to follow him and his leading in the right paths to his goal. This causes us to seek him more in prayer and to ask him for the answers. It makes us more dependent on him as our parent as we try to find the right way and get the right answers and go the right direction, make the right choices. He put us here in this world to make the decisions to do right or wrong. He tells us what's right and what is wrong, but then he doesn't make us do anything. He lets us make the decisions. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Living, the real thing, doesn't consist of things at all, because things cannot satisfy. They may temporarily satisfy the body, but they can never satisfy the soul or the spirit of man, which cries out to God its Father for the joy and happiness and the eternal fulfillment that only God can give, and for which he created it to enjoy. If you think that things will satisfy you, look at the rich. They've got everything, yet something's missing, because this world will never satisfy their souls. It can satisfy their bodies, but not their hearts. And when they do satisfy the flesh, they're not happy for very long, because you have to keep satisfying the flesh. The more they get, the more they want, because this world doesn't satisfy the needs of the spirit, which only God can fill. Life, Jesus says, is more than things. It doesn't really matter how few or how many things you have. What really counts is love and joy and true happiness in your heart. And the greatest of all riches, the most valuable thing in the world that you can possibly have, is Jesus. Why does so much of the world refuse to believe in God? Because they choose to be ignorant. Do you know what God's greatest credentials are? The genuine proof of His authority. His creation. His glorious creation is a constant testimony of the existence of a divine designer and creator. As the Bible says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made," His creation, "even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Although the whole creation testifies of the existence of the invisible God, the world refuses to receive the testimony, because they're in rebellion against God. They don't want to know Him, and they don't want to confess that He exists, because if they recognize Him, then they have to admit that they owe Him some kind of obeisance and obedience. If the world and its inhabitants are God's creation, then they're His property. And if they're His property, then He's got the right to be the boss, not them. Those who refuse to see God in His creation are like the farmer the first time he saw a giraffe and said, "There just ain't no such thing." But just because they won't believe it doesn't make it not so. God never gives us burdens greater than we are able to bear. God is a loving and merciful God. He knows your frame. He remembers that you're but dust, and He knows how much you can stand. Even of our service for Him, Jesus said, "My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Come unto me, and I will give you rest." If the yoke gets too hard and the burden too heavy, it's not His yoke nor His burden, but our own or someone else's which we've unwisely undertaken or permitted to be placed upon us beyond the Lord's knowledge of our strength and abilities. Or maybe you're trying to carry too much and pull too hard instead of letting God do it through you by His power, His love, His grace, and His strength. His yoke is easy, and His burden is light. It's not too hard, and it's not too heavy. The devil tries to say, "Well, this is too hard, this is too much, this is too heavy." He comes along and tempts you to quit. "Oh, that's too much." But Jesus said, "It is not." His yoke is not too hard, and His burden is not too heavy. So if you take it from the Lord and do His will, it's not going to be too hard or too heavy. He Himself will never suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able. He always gives us some way of escape. Jesus said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. In other words, he was saying, I would rather see you have love and not just a dutiful law-keeping offering of sacrifices and performing of duties. I'd rather you'd give love to somebody than just be so self-righteous. The drunks and the harlots and the publicans and the sinners came to Jesus for love and mercy, and he treated them tenderly, kindly, and forgave them, and gave them hope and love and strength. They didn't go to the harsh, rigid, self-righteous, unyielding, unforgiving, critical, and condemning religious leaders who told them to be perfect or go to hell. But they came to Jesus for his love and mercy, forgiveness, encouragement, and patience. Love throws a veil over countless sins. But some people are so self-righteous, they think they never make mistakes. But if you yourself realize how much you need mercy, you'll be much more merciful to others. Remembering continually what sinners we are and how many mistakes we've made helps greatly to keep us humble and to avoid that spirit of self-righteous pride which causes us to criticize and condemn others. When you realize that you need a lot of forgiveness and you need a lot of mercy, it really helps you to extend it to others. So let's be honest and humbly admit that we're all sinners and our only goodness is the Lord in us. And let's just try to help others do the best they can. Amen. What he's done for others, he can do for you. All through the Bible, the Lord miraculously empowered and protected his prophets and apostles. And the same miracles of power, protection, and judgment that occurred back in Bible times can happen now. The Bible says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If Jesus could do those miracles in his day and the apostles, then he should still be doing them today. God is still the God of miracles. What he's done before, he can do again. In fact, Jesus said, "The works that I do, ye shall do also, and even greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father." Jesus also said, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So if you have Jesus, you've got all that power. God has not only promised all this power, but he's promised it for right now, if you need it and have faith for it. He has promised it for ages, and it's been done before. God empowered ordinary people just like you to do the same things before. You're not only going to be able to do miracles in the future, but you can do them now if you believe God's promises. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll carry you through. It is no secret what God can do. Think how much good you can do in his name. Are you exercising your power, the power of Jesus' name? Real love is to fulfill the part that God created you to play. God said to King Saul, I will make thee another man. And to David, too, God made him another man. He turned him into something he wasn't. In some ways, it's almost like playing a role. But when God has given you a role to play, and you can put your heart into it and play it with enthusiasm and real inspiration of the Lord and by the power of His Spirit, you become that creation of God. God has His own plan. God has His own way. God knows what He's doing. So for God's sake, let Him do it. And just look to Him to find out what He's doing and what He wants you to do. What you don't want to do is miss His best, the highest and best thing that God wants you to do. The boat that could get you to where you can really accomplish something. God's special place for you in His kingdom. If you're willing to be what God wants you to be, not what you are, but what God wants you to be, then He can mightily use you. So are you willing not to present your program to God for His signature, not even to be presented with God's program for your signature, but are you willing to sign a blank sheet of paper and let God fill it in without your even knowing what His program is going to be?